Good morning.
Wow.
A few things to remind us of as we're getting started today. We have our trunk or treat coming up this afternoon. When we first started planning this thing, one of my very first questions was, what do we do in Oregon if it rains? And everyone else in the room started laughing at me. And they said, we do it anyway. That's how we do things in Oregon. So I will assume you're going to hold to that and that we will still have a good crowd of folks here with trunks open, ready this afternoon. We'll be here from 4 until 5:30, open for business, I guess. So if you'll want to get here a little bit early to set up whatever it is you're setting up. If you are non-creative and just want to open the trunk of your car and throw candy in there, I'm sure children will not complain. So however you want to do it is great. I keep debating this. I've been debating it all morning. But I'm curious, who is planning to come with the truck decorated today? Just so I have some kind of idea, some of us, all right? If you are on the fence about it today, please consider it. Consider coming being a part of it. We have a lot of folks that have seen our event on Facebook. It's been shared quite a bit. The last time I looked at it, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 people, I think, had seen the post. So that does not mean 2,000 people are going to show up, although that would be really cool. But if several people show up, it would be nice if we had enough cars there to kind of represent what we're doing. So if you want to come be a part of that today, that would be wonderful. If your family has more than one car, feel free to bring more than one car and decorate. Couple other things, logistics-wise, just for us to know. This is our building from above, according to Google Maps. And you're wondering where we're going to do this thing. Where we're going to begin filling spaces is right there. And that red line doesn't show up really well, but there's a red line right here. We're going to start there, and then we're going to work our way to down here. And then we'll work our way to across there, and then we'll start working our way back up. So depending on how many folks we have show up, we'll start with just a line that faces the street out there, and then we'll make it into an L shape so people can kind of make it around. And then if we have everybody decides this afternoon, I've got to come be out in the rain, we'll U it all the way around. And then what we'll try to do is as people come in, we'll have them park around here so that we don't have cars moving around where all the cars are parked for trunk or treating. So that's the plan. I hope you will come and be a part of it. If you don't want to sit there in the rain with your trunk, there are other jobs that can be done. I think I've heard that we're going to have some refreshments under the portico out there, so if you want to help with that and just meet people, you're welcome to do that. If you would like to put on your raincoat and help direct people into where they should be parking their cars, you're welcome to help with that. But anything you can do to help out would be great. And hopefully this will be something where we'll have several community folks that will come in and be a part of it. All right. There we go. As was already mentioned, one other thing on that before I leave it behind. I think have announced that 6 o'clock is when our devotional will be. If you come for the trunk or treat and you show up at, say, 3:30 to set up your decorations in your trunk, and then you've got an hour and a half of standing in the rain, hopefully not. It's depending on what forecast you believe. So if you've been standing out there for a while, we don't want to make you just stand around for the rest of time waiting for the next thing to happen. So our plan is at 5:30, unless there's a giant crowd of people out there, to start kind of winding things down, secure all the trunks as best we can, and then come in and have a devotional as quickly as that can happen. So we're not going to wait 20 or 30 minutes till 6 if that goes quickly. If it goes slowly, it might be 6. It's hard to say. So if you're just planning on coming for devotional time tonight, I'd suggest being here 5:35 or so. And you might have to wait a few minutes, but you'll be here for the whole thing that way. Or decorate your trunk and then come be a part of the whole thing. All right. Also coming up in November, we're talking a lot about missions and outreach. And as Carl mentioned, there's something there in the bulletin about it, but I also put it up here for you. This week, we're reaching out to our community with Trunk or Treat, hopefully to make some connections with people. Next Sunday, we will talk about orphans and kind of this interesting thought of a lot of folks are against religion, but if you look into the New Testament, we learn that religion, true religion, is taking care of widows and orphans, which doesn't really sound like something people ought to be against. And so we'll talk about orphans. We'll talk specifically about some of the things that Christian Relief Fund does and ways you can get involved with that. On November 15th, Dale from the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief will be with us to tell us about the work that they do. On the 19th, we will be packing boxes for Operation Christmas Child. If you want to know more about that, you can talk to Denise. You also could probably talk to Luis. He's done that in the past, and he could tell you some about it too. On the 29th, we'll be having our fifth Sunday singing up at Lebanon, and then on the 30th, we'll have the soup kitchen, and if you want to volunteer for that, you can talk to Larry or Denise or somebody. So that's all we got coming up in November, and there are more things than that outreach-wise that we can be doing, but those are the things that we'll be specifically talking about. Now, if you'd like to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And according to the clock on the wall, it is 10:19, so buckle up. We got lots of time together. I thought about asking in class if anybody was there unintentionally. You'd forgotten to set your clock back. But we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 13 today. A couple weeks ago, in our life groups and in our group that meets here on Sunday evening, we talked about sharing, about speaking the truth in love, about the gospel that is to be shared. And that tends to bring with it lots of questions about what that looks like and what our responsibilities are. And I thought we would maybe unpack that idea a little more this morning in Matthew chapter 13. And usually I will read along and we'll stop and comment along the way, but I thought we'd start today just by reading the whole parable, and then we'll come back through it after that. Beginning in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will never be hearing, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. As we look back at the beginning, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while other people stood on the shore. It begins with the message. It begins with this story that is to be told. It begins with Jesus and the life that he lives and the things he's going to talk about. And it's interesting to me that we see this image of the crowds beginning to gather around him. And I think sometimes we have convinced ourselves that it needs something more. We've convinced ourselves that for some reason this message doesn't have the same excitement that it once had. It doesn't have the same attraction to people that it once had. And clearly, Jesus is a much, much better preacher than I am or than you are. And maybe that's part of why the crowds come. But at its core, it is about the message, the same message that we have today. And I think when we convince ourselves that that's not going to be quite enough, we've done a disservice. We need to realize that that message is the same message that can draw people to him today. That message is the same message that still changes lives. That message is still the most important thing that we can talk about, the most important thing that we can share. And we have got to wrap our minds around that idea. Because when that is what it is, then suddenly it's a lot more important. Suddenly it's something that we've got to talk about. Suddenly it's something that we can't keep to ourselves. And then he told them many things in parables. And we see a little bit of the why parables, but I love the fact that he talks in parables because I love stories. Always have. I love a good story. I love a good plot. I love the heroes and the villains of a story. I love things that are an analogy to something else that help you to understand it, help you to see it in a way that you haven't seen. And I think we've all experienced that. Somehow the story brings things into more clarity for us, unless it's a math word problem, and then it does the opposite for some reason. Haven't figured that one out yet. The story helps. And so he begins to tell this story, and he says a farmer went out to sow his seed. The farmer went out to sow. This is the farmer's job. And I am not a farmer, and I have told you stories in the past about the brown thumb that our family tends to have. And then we have plants, and they die quickly. And there's not a whole lot we can do about that. I am excited that our orchid is still alive, I think, that you guys gave me a few weeks back. But most of the time, plants don't come to us for things good that are going to happen. A farmer's job is to sow the seed. Now, we immediately can start to think of excuses. We immediately can start to try to think of reasons why the sowing of the seed won't work. And I would think that the farmer who has farmed that land for years and years probably knows a little more about what might work and what might not. My brother-in-law is a farmer. He farms a whole lot of acres of wheat and corn and sunflowers and several other things out in Nebraska. That farm has been in the family for a very, very, very long time. And I guess if you were going to sit down with Steve and say, Steve, show me on this aerial map from Google Maps where you would plant this and where you would plant that and why, that he would have a scenario that would make complete sense to him and we probably wouldn't completely understand. And he would tell us that this place over here, you're going to need to irrigate based on what you're doing. And this place over here, don't even bother planting something right there because it's just not going to take. You might want to plant this crop here, this time of year. And he has, through experience, begun to learn about it. But still, his basic job is to sow. He sows the seed. That, for us, is our job. When we talked a couple weeks ago about sharing the gospel, about speaking the truth in love, our job is to do just that, to share the gospel, to speak the truth in love. Excuse me. Our job is not that the crop is going to be perfect every year. And if you were to sit down with my brother-in-law, Steve, and say, well, how great was the crop last year? He could tell you. And if you said, how was it the year before that? He could tell you. And if you asked him, what was the worst year in recent memory? He would be able to tell you that pretty quickly, I imagine. And what was the best? He could tell you that. And sometimes, I would imagine, if you set him back to when he was sowing the seed, he might tell you that there wasn't really a whole lot of difference in how he did it and where he did it. It was the weather that came along. It was the hailstorms that came. It was how much snow, how much rain. Sometimes it takes, sometimes it doesn't. And when we are sowing the seed of the gospel, we struggle with that. Because what we want is success. And we want success in the way the world defines success, which is numbers. We want as many people coming to Christ as we could possibly get. And that's a great goal to have. But at the same time, we have to understand that a lot of times when we begin to sow this seed, it does not have the result that we would hope it would have. And yet our job is still to sow the seed. Because what you will find, if you talk to my brother-in-law Steve about all his crops, is that if you walked up to him and said, okay, this piece over here where you didn't plant anything, how did that crop work out? He would tell you, nothing. I didn't plant anything there. And he understands that to get something, you've got to plant something. It doesn't just happen. And so it begins with the sowing of the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. It came to the path. And I think most of us would probably not, even with our limited farming knowledge, would not imagine sidewalk is going to be a good spot for planting. Or even just a worn footpath, which is probably a little more of what we're talking about here, probably not your ideal spot to plant. Because that's just not going to work. And he explains the parable further down in the chapter, and he says, listen to what this parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. There are a lot more people in our world this morning that have heard of Jesus and heard elements of his story and understand a little bit about who he is. There are a lot more people described in that way than people that actually follow him. They've been told the story by somebody. Somebody, it might have been that they were invited to church and they came and they listened to somebody talk from up front like this. For some, it might be a family member who sat down with them and talked to them. For some, they might have just heard it in passing along the way. Maybe they were flipping through the channels on their TV and somebody began to tell the story. There are a lot of people that have heard the story, and it fell along the path. It fell along the path that he describes as they didn't understand it. It didn't take root. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And we will, as we go out and we sow the seed and tell the story, we will encounter sometimes the path. People who don't understand, don't take it in, and then the birds just come along and take it away. And then he says, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. The rocky places. And the way he would describe this is the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. We can immediately think of people described in this way. You have family members, you have people who are neighbors, people that have been members of this church somewhere along the way who started off on fire. Started off more excited than you, maybe even a little more dedicated than you, and somewhere along the way it just begins to wear off a little bit. And largely the way he describes it here, because there's not root. There is no root. And if you have been into farming or gardening, you understand when you run into something that's got strong roots and something that doesn't. You understand what it's like to deal with one of those or one that's not. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. There will be troubles that come our way because of the word. He says it right here. There will be times that being a Christian is the difficult thing to do. There will be times that people around you think you're crazy. There will be times that people around you think that this thing you're doing is a waste of time. They think it's a myth. They think none of this matters. And they will treat you differently as a result of that. And when there is no root within us, those things get to be difficult. I had a friend when I moved out here. If you're visiting with us today, I will have my confession now. I grew up in Alabama. I am an Alabama fan. I had a friend when I moved out here that assumed that at some point I would become an Oregon fan and life would change. Now, I will tell you, I have no trouble with Oregon. I watched them Thursday night. I was rooting for them. And as long as they're not playing my team, they are A-OK. Went to a game last year, had a great time. But he's waiting for that moment where I stop liking that team and start liking this team, and I just don't see that coming. And a big part of it is where my roots are. Ken Robinson, who is in a hospital in Utah right now that we prayed for earlier today, he lives in Valdosta, Georgia. And he plays golf a lot and is better at it than I am. And reminded Mike and I through a message through Dave that this has not affected his golf. But he plays golf down there in Valdosta, Georgia. And he's easy to spot on the course because he has an Oregon golf bag. And he's got his duck's head covers and an Oregon towel on there. And he's wearing his Oregon shoes and his Oregon pullover. And he is the only guy, I would imagine, out there in Valdosta, Georgia, and all that Oregon stuff. Because his roots are here. And you're not going to take that Oregon out of him. That's who he is. Christ would tell us here that some folks just never get quite rooted enough in this. And when things get hard, they fall away. And we have all seen that, and we're frustrated by it, and we're saddened by it. And sometimes it makes us think twice about sowing the seed. Because it's hard when you have got somebody that you think, I have helped them to find their way to Christ, and then they're gone. But Jesus would say, this is part of what happens. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Excuse me. The thorns, and he would describe it in this way. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Now, this clearly is just Matthew's day. These kinds of things never happen anymore. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Interesting things to combine together here in the thorns. And I think part of this is to remind us there are different kinds of thorns. If you have in the course of gardening run across one kind of thorn, and that is the only kind of thorn that you ever look for, at some point in life you're going to be surprised by another kind of thorn when it pricks your finger. There are lots of different thorns out there. And for some, it is the worries of life. We get so caught up in life that this falls into the background. And for some, the deceitfulness of wealth, which is if I have enough money, I don't have to worry about anything else. And if you have not yet figured this out, there is never enough. Get as much as you want, there is never going to be enough. You could invent the next great thing and think you are set for life, and there is never enough. There is never going to be enough to take away the need for Christ. But some people begin to believe that I can fill it with this, or I can fill it with this, or the worries are too much and I need to replace it with this. And Christ would say to you, no, that's just the thorns of this world that are coming up around you. And then still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. You have the good soil. And I like the good soil, but I'm reminded in the story, if you are a statistician or a math guy at this point, what are we learning here? Within the parable, we have a 25% success rate. Now, I don't think he's trying to teach us percentages or statistics or anything like that right here. I think this is just kind of the way the story goes. But realistically, almost anything you did, if it only worked out 25% of the time, you would probably stop doing it. If you guys teach music and teach band, if they only start to get things about 25% of the time, you probably go home hitting your head against the wall for a while. Tired of hearing those notes that are the wrong notes. Even in baseball, 25%, it may or may not keep you on your team. You got to bat 300. When it comes to Christianity, the people we talk to, if only 25% of the time we had success, honestly, I think a lot of us would feel like that was a giant step in a good direction. Because we don't feel like we're having 25% right now. And because of that, we back away. Because of that, we say, it's just so hard because, think about it. Think back, if you will. Remember junior high, high school, college, those days when you're asking people out on dates, especially guys? Remember what it was like to be turned down? Some of you know, not at all. I know what it was like to be turned down. I remember that well. And I think to myself, if I were turned down 75% of the time, would I stop asking at some point? If I raise my hand in class and I have the right answer, I think, to whatever it is the teacher's asking, and I'm wrong about it 75% of the time, I'm going to stop raising my hand somewhere along the way? In anything in life, if we are not getting it 75% of the time, we tend to give up. And I think a lot of churches and a lot of Christians are here right now, giving up. We're just going to plug away, do the best we can, hope it all works out well. And Jesus would say, no, that's not the command I have left you with. The command I have left you with is to make disciples. The command I have left you with is to share this message. It is up to you to do it. Which means you are going to go out there and acknowledge the fact that you're going to hit paths sometimes. You're going to hit the thorns sometimes. You're going to hit the rocky places sometimes. And you keep trying. The really frustrating part is you're going to hit all three of those sometimes with the same person. And you're going to think it finally took, and then you find, no, it didn't take that time. No, not that time. And do you give up or do you keep going? Because what he says here is when you hit the good soil, I love the way he puts it, it produces a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And you know what that means? It begins to grow on its own. When you plant the seed and the person who needs to hear it hears it and their life is changed by it, it is now their job to be the sower. And think about that for a minute, because if you have your 25% or whatever it might be success throughout the course of life, and you have found 12 people in the course of your entire life who changed their life and followed Jesus, then what do those 12 people do? And what are the people they find? What do they do? And it becomes, ironically enough, within the story of a sower, becomes organic. It starts to grow on its own. And he explains it this way. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. That is what we count on. We count on the fact that people are going to hear the story and be changed, and as a result of that, they're going to want to share the story too. The sad part of that is, a lot of times we never get to see that part. We don't know when somebody comes our way and they live here for 2 years and they become a part of this church and then they move off to Idaho or wherever they might go, what effect they might have on a church over there. I think of Ken growing up here with Bernice, moving off to Georgia, the effect he has on that church there. Each of us has the opportunity to sow that seed, knowing that the results are going to be different and the results are going to change. But because God is behind it, he provides the growth. Don't be discouraged this morning. Don't be discouraged when you invite someone to come be a part of something and they say no. Don't be discouraged when someone looks at the life you're living and they don't understand it, and they think that the fact that you're here is a waste of time. Don't be discouraged when you try to talk to people about the story and they're not quite ready to hear it, or they hear it and it begins to change them and then they're in the thorns or they're on the rocks. Understand that our job is to tell the story. And the story is the same power that it had when Jesus told it. And these crowds would gather around so much that he had to get on a boat and move a little bit offshore so that he could be heard. This morning, if you look at your own life and you think to yourself, I'm not telling the story, that's where the problem lies for a lot of us. We've got to tell the story. We've got to share the good news. We have got to be the people who sow the seed in our world. And this morning, if you think, I'd like to do that more, I hope a lot of us are thinking that. I hope a lot of us are thinking right now of somebody who needs to have the seed sown in their lives. Somebody who needs to hear this story, whose life needs to be changed. And I hope at the same time that we understand, might not be who we're thinking it is. Maybe God has someone else in store for us. I hope we understand that sometimes it takes several tries before somebody really begins to understand. I hope we understand that, like any good farmer, we can do things to prepare that ground. We can live lives of a good example that make people want to know more about this. We can live lives like we talked about in Bible class this morning of love. And as we love our neighbors and show them what it is to be Christ-like, then maybe they want to know a little more about who we are and what the story is all about. And this morning, if you're hearing the story and you're ready to not be rocky ground or the pathway, you're ready to be good soil, we welcome you for that journey. This morning, if you need to be baptized into him, have that word planted within your life, we'd be glad to be a part of that too. Whatever need you may have, please come as we stand and sing.